It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Well, as we sit a week away from Election Day, one of the things that we're trying to do, and I'm doing this with the help of my outstanding Hall of Fame level producer, Fred Bonner, we want to get a bunch of people on the air one more time before the election. Some of the folks that are really the experts on the show, whether it's Selena Zito or, look, my friend Scott Jennings, I feel like I've lost him to the world of CNN. And, you know, Jennings and I have been friends for probably 8 years now. I go way back with Joe Arnold, who is a mutual friend in Louisville as well. And Scott's come on my show literally a couple of times a month for the last 8 years until he vaulted into superstardom here on CNN, trying to keep everyone straight on that set. And it's just difficult for him right now because he's running campaigns in Kentucky, et cetera. So I did send him a text this morning and I got a response. I'm hopeful we're going to get him on. I know we're going to get him on this week. I said, Jennings, my brother, just back. I used the picture of my grandson that I put on Twitter today because, you know, that's a good hook on a text. I said, Jennings, my brother, just back from Houston. One question my grandson asks is there any chance of getting you on one more time before next Tuesday? And look, I had to tell him that I know he's getting crushed and I hope he's got a good vacation plan. I'm actually worried about him. I'm worried about him as a friend just because he's so stressed about all this. They're demanding so much of him at CNN. And let's face it, the CNN audience hates his guts because he's shilling for Trump. So I think just on a human level, I'm concerned about Scott, but we'll ask him some of those questions as he joins us hopefully this week or maybe Monday, the day before the election. Now, I got Ted Nugent coming up tomorrow on the show. I wanted to hear what Uncle Ted had to say with some closing arguments. He'll be here 24 hours from now, right at this time slot, right around 5:07. And Fred is working on putting a bunch of other folks together as well. Paul Morrow's coming up here in a couple of minutes. I'll have my election guide at the bottom of the hour, but let me just play before Paul jumps on the line here. This is Seth Dillon from the Babylon Bee, and they made their own presidential endorsement today. If you don't know, for those of you who don't know, the Babylon Bee is the digital version, if you will, of The Onion. It's on Twitter, and they have a website, and it's all satire. It's satirical tweets and commentary, and they're very, very funny. Of course, the people on the left don't think they're funny because they're mocked more than anyone else. But Seth Dillon did, you know, everyone, all the cool kids are doing endorsements, so here we go.
Hi, I'm Seth Dillon, CEO of the Babylon Bee. While other fake news organizations like the Washington Post and the LA Times refuse to save democracy, we here at the Babylon Bee are proud to do our part. Today, we've decided to officially endorse communist Kamala Harris for president.
Oops.
Why Kamala? Well, we'd be here all day if I listed all the reasons, but I'll name a few.
So keep in mind, you know, and I didn't really get much into the Jeff Bezos commentary in the Washington Post, his newspaper, saying we're not going to endorse because, let me summarize this and paraphrase it, we know that the American people don't trust us because we've done a terrible job in reporting, in particular in the last 4 years. I might be putting a few words or, you know, letters into Jeff's mouth, but that's essentially what he wrote in the Washington Post. And I think he sees the manipulation by the people that work for his own damn newspaper in devious ways. I also think that, you know, Paul will address this in a few minutes. There might be some politics at play there with him in particular. But Seth Dillon goes on.
To begin with, she shot straight to the top because of her intellect. Smart lady. She's the first person in history to win a primary without receiving a single vote.
Pretty special.
That's impressive.
It is impressive.
She's a person of color.
Yep.
Indian, I think.
Yeah.
She's a phenomenon. She gave Drew Barrymore a hug, an act that symbolized her willingness to wrap her arms around the country and give us all a hug whenever Republicans make us feel sad.
You know, and if you're really kind of struggling on a vote, maybe some of your friends are too, I would point to the hug with Drew Barrymore for sure.
She was such a popular vice president that over 12 million people hiked hundreds of miles to cross our southern border to vote for her without ID in this election.
That's a good point.
She has a melodic and soothing voice, especially when she laughs. I can listen to her laugh for hours.
Who couldn't?
We are grateful that when America is on the brink of losing its democracy, the person standing strong against the looming threat of fascism as a woman is accomplished, intelligent, joyful, and non-white as Kamala Harris. And so we join Eminem, Megan Thee Stallion, the Insane Clown Posse, and many other great thought leaders by proudly endorsing Kamala Harris for president.
There you go. That's a special moment from Seth Dillon, and I have absolute appreciation for it. Now, I drove back from Houston. I get into the car yesterday morning. I really didn't pay much attention to politics, but I knew the Madison Square Garden thing was going on. And then I turned on CNN yesterday because I wanted to hear Jennings. And it was just terrible. Whatever happened in Madison Square Garden must have been traumatic for people, because listen to this.
It is absolutely something that is intended to and is fanning the fuel of trying to divide our country.
There's a direct parallel to a big rally that happened in the mid-1930s at Madison Square Garden.
This was a hate rally. These are mini January 6th rallies.
How did we get here? Where a stadium of people come to hate.
Yesterday's Trump rally from hell.
Vile, racist, sexist insults dominated Donald Trump's rally at Madison Square Garden.
They're going to need some help in about a week, ladies and gentlemen. I'm very concerned about my friends on the left. Paul Morrow is here. He must be a Nazi, too, because he was at that rally the other night. That's exactly what happened, the way that they explained it all there on those clips. Right, Paul?
Otherworldly. I mean, there was nothing Nazi-ish or fascist about it. It's preposterous. You know, in fact, there weren't even that many protesters. You know, everybody expected, the PD expected a big protest presence, et cetera. And realistically, there was some token characters, you know, waving Nazi signs around. But the only swastikas I saw were from the protesters who had placed them on, you know, adjacent to Donald Trump on placards. It was a very good vibe. It was like, look, these things, they're pro forma. This is the second or third Trump rally I covered. And realistically, they are for a group of people, in this case, 20,000 people, to get together, feel good about who they're going to vote for, feel good about who they're supporting, talk to each other, make contacts, exchange business cards. Half the time, they're barely listening to the speakers. They listen to the applause lines. But really, it's a point. The point is for everybody to get together. And the idea that this was in any way some sort of Nazi rally is preposterous. It's profoundly ignorant of history. It's a desperate election tactic. And as I said recently, for a Nazi rally, there were an awful lot of Israeli flags there.
You know, I played a little of this audio earlier, Paul, this guy, Tony Hinchcliffe, who was there. Now, he was at the Al Smith dinner, and he was very, very funny. The only thing I would say about him at the MSG rally is it seemed like some of the comedy, there were pretty good lines. I would laugh. Jon Stewart laughed. I think some of the comedy fell flat because the room wasn't quite right for that. But that Hinchcliffe guy was telling the same style and the same, you know, caliber of jokes that he did at the Al Smith dinner.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing about him, I think that a lot of people don't realize, is he was the first speaker. And so the place was only half full, and people were filing in, including myself.
Yeah.
And it was a very sort of proscribed seating arrangement, because they knew it was going to be crowded. And, in fact, it was filled to overcapacity because you had the floor seats. The Garden holds about 19,500. It was over 20,000 because you had the floor seats, and people were standing, you know, at one point. There were people, I got a few phone calls to say, hey, can you get me in? Because they were waiting outside. There was another 20,000 people outside because the garden was overfilled. So people were still taking off their jackets, finding seats, seeing who they were going to sit next to, where are the bathrooms, can we get something to eat before you know, it gets too crowded, et cetera, et cetera. And he was speaking, and so you were only half listening. I didn't realistically hear anything he said and wasn't aware of anything he said until much later when we started hearing about this joke that he made. And look, I'm not going to defend him. In all honesty, I agree with you. It wasn't the right room for that. I think that Donald Trump, I'm sure, never heard of the guy. I think it was whoever delivered him to Donald Trump in under these circumstances did Trump a disservice. You know that the progressives are just waiting to pounce on anything they can to try to demonstrate that this was some sort of fascistic rally. And then to give them one was a mistake. There's no reason to court this kind of misinterpretation or disaster or whatever you want to call it. Really, It wasn't the room for that. You're 100% right.
Well, and, you know, again, some of this stuff, you know, they did disavow it. They said, look, this joke does not reflect the views of President Trump or the campaign. And you're talking most specifically about when he said there's literally a floating island of garbage in the middle of the ocean right now. Yeah, I think it's called Puerto Rico. Well, there is a little history to that line, too. Nuance. It's tough. When you have to explain a joke, Paul, as you know, then it's not very good.
Yeah,
but
right,
they've got a lot of issues, literally, with trash piling up in Puerto Rico. So maybe that's where it came from. But look, it just didn't match the rest of the tone, so I think that was an error. But the way that the overreaction on the part of the media with no context at all, because you could have, you know, in the New York Times or somewhere else said, look, this was the same guy that was telling jokes along this, you know, along these lines at the Al Smith dinner, and Kevin Hart and everybody, they're laughing their asses off at it. But of course, context doesn't matter when it comes to Donald Trump, Paul, as we all know.
No, 100%. And that's why I say, you know, don't lean into giving them one, you know. Make sure everybody's vetted. And look, the remarks at the event were almost entirely redundant. Everybody pretty much said the same thing. Vote early, vote for Donald Trump. After that, it was all a gloss. And it really came down to, you know, how you delivered it and how you couched it. And so the idea that, okay, we'll start off with a comedian while everybody is filing into their seats, fair enough. But even then, they should have looked carefully at why go with an edgy look. That's comedy. I don't blame him. He
right.
did his
no,
job.
I agree.
That's who he is, you know. So, but, you know, why go with an edgy comic? At that point, to me, you get somebody that's very, very safe, or you get somebody who's going to do, you know, scan as a reach out maybe to Hispanics or blacks or somebody that you're trying to peel away from the other side. And to hand them one, I think, was a mistake. I guess the thinking was, look, we'll try to appeal to young people who know this guy is. We'll try to show that we're
right,
edgy,
right.
et cetera.
I think that's it, yeah. No, I think that's part
and,
of it. Like,
you know, so.
I just got back, and I was talking about this earlier, too. I just got back from a trip to Houston, Paul, and on my way back, I was meeting my new grandson. My son and his girlfriend had a baby 8 weeks ago and was meeting Idris, my grandson. And on the way back on Thursday is when I drove down. I'm losing all, you know, sort of time references here. Sunday night, I left and I drove to Texarkana. I listened to the entire 3-hour Joe Rogan podcast, and I found it interesting. And, you know, nobody's really ripping on that in the left-wing media because there was nothing to rip on. I mean, the guy sat there and had a conversation with Joe Rogan, something that I don't think Kamala Harris could ever do, let alone an hour, or let alone 3 hours. I don't think she could do it for an hour.
No, no question about it. And he even made the joke that she'd be comatose on the floor, and he's 100% right. The only way she could get through that is if people wanted to hear her laugh for 3 hours. And in fact, I don't know if you've seen, but Rogan is looking to get her on,
yes.
And they put conditions. They
yeah.
said it'll be no more than an hour, and you have to come to us. In other words, all kinds of controlled conditions. And just like what happened with the Bret Baier interview, you know that when Rogan arrives there, were he to do it, and he didn't agree, but were he to have agreed, he'd show up. All of a sudden, that hour becomes a half hour.
Right, right.
And by the way, these are the questions you're going to ask. She is, it's no secret at this point, it's been going on for months. She is employing the same hide-in-the-basement strategy that got Joe elected the first time, and we all know how that worked out. You only hide somebody, it's just common sense. You only hide somebody if they have something to hide. They hid Joe because he had the beginnings of dementia, or maybe even further. And they're hiding her because it really does seem like she is that vacuous. There's only one of two things. She is either completely vacuous, a sphinx without a secret, as the saying goes,
yeah.
Or she is hiding some sort of profound progressive program that is going to be what she is looking to do to the country, and she doesn't want anybody to know about it. And I actually default to the former. I just don't think there's anything there.
Well, I think we're learning that, and we have learned that. This is an interesting reaction on all this fascism stuff, which is not sticking, from the mayor of your city.
I know what a fascist regime looks like. I think, as I've called over and over again, that the level of conversation, I think we could all dial down the temperature. And I've heard people say that the former president should not be able to have a rally in Madison Square Garden. I strongly disagree. This is America.
Yeah, he voted for Trump, Paul, don't you think? At this point, Eric Adams is a Trump guy.
You know, it's funny you should say that, but I said something like that on the air and caused a little bit of a stir up here when he was going in, when he was being, when you know, first time around, because when he was running himself, Eric Adams.
Yeah.
And I think that was probably the case. Now, the read up here is that he's doing that because he wants Trump to win so that Trump will pardon him, because He's under federal indictment. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But he is managing to sound like the adult in the room, because the idea that you can equate Donald Trump with Adolf Hitler, Mussolini, Francisco Franco, you know, the classic triumvirate of fascists, okay, with the true fascists in the true historical sense of the term, is just utterly
it's ludicrous.
It is. And it's actually an insult.
You know, when she's asked by Anderson Cooper, is Donald Trump a fascist? And she says, you know what the follow-up question should be? What does that mean? What is a fascist?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't even think she could. She couldn't define it.
No, of course not. She never could define that. She'd have absolutely no idea what to say, and that's just really unfortunate. But you know what? If half the country is so riled up and offended by Donald Trump's sort of loose use of language sometimes, as opposed to looking at the policy that's going to govern their lives, then you know what? We vote what we get for. You know, we get what we vote for. Excuse me. And you know, I'd like to think that the electorate sees through this.
I think they do.
Somehow or other, she's polling very high. I don't know.
I think they do see through it, and I think that's why we're seeing some panic on, you know, on the left, and that same panic doesn't occur right now in the Trump camp. Now, Paul, my caveat for the last 2 weeks has been, and it will continue to be my caveat, a lot of us felt pretty good about the way things were looking in 2022, and that didn't manifest itself in quite the way that was expected. So, look, it's a close race. We know it's a close race. I voted today. I don't know if you voted yet. One of the things I was thinking about is it took me about 70 minutes all in to vote. The lines were just maybe a little shorter last week. I thought they'd be shorter this week. But I can also see people, you know, giving up on this if they have to wait in 90-minute lines, et cetera, saying, oh, it's not even worth it.
Well, that's interesting. You know, all I can say is that the early voting favoring Trump is a good sign, because it just shows how committed his followers are. And there's no that's no accident that at the rally, every speaker said, get out there and vote
right now.
They don't trust Election Day. And that was a theme the entire time. Grab a friend, make sure you get out there and vote early. I haven't yet. I'm going to, though, because I don't want to deal with the lines on Election Day. And God forbid something happens and I got to go run in. I just want to make sure. And yeah, he's probably not going to win New York. I don't care. You got to get out there. You got to vote. Got to get in early and, you know, get your vote heard here, because complacence this time around is not an option.
Well, enjoy the final week here leading up to next Tuesday, Paul. Maybe we'll get you back here before the election, but we are very close. We're very close. Now, getting the results, I don't know how close we are for that, because that may take a few days. That's another concern.
Yeah, well, exactly. And, you know, now all the lawsuits are sparking off, and, you know, some of the stuff that you're hearing about going on in Pennsylvania, Virginia, Wisconsin, it's pretty outrageous.
Concerning,
so,
yeah.
You know, I'm hoping that SCOTUS does weigh in, because you got to knock some of this down. And one of the best strategies I've heard is that Donald Trump has apparently put out, and I'm sure they're not reporting it on the left, but that's who needs to hear it is the left, is that if he does in fact win, he's not only going to clean this up, but he's going to look into the shenanigans that were launched against him here relative to malforming our voting system. I find that legitimate. That's not voter intimidation. That's keeping the integrity of our system sacrosanct. And, you know, when an Afghan election, where the women who get to vote for the first time in their lives put their fingers in purple ink, when that ends up being a more accurate and honest election strategy and policy mechanism, whatever you want to call it, more than ours in the 21st century with all our computers, you know something is very wrong.
Yeah, that's a great point. Paul Morrow, thank you so much. Check out theopsdesk.org. We'll talk soon. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, buddy.
We might get him one more time before the election. I really enjoy talking to Paul, and he's on top of these issues. And, you know, did you hear the Eric Adams stuff, Sue?
No.
That might be a good time for the Eric Adams stuff. I meant to kind of throw that in with Paul, but this is kind of amazing. Now, you know, again, I mentioned that with Paul. He could be doing it because he knows Trump might win, and he wants to not be someone that's in his crosshairs. But look, he's right. Let me play this again here, because this is so important, and he's right about this. This is along the lines of calling Trump a Nazi and all this fascist stuff.
And they're talking about these real problems we're having. And with all that's going on to everyday New Yorkers, we're asking questions that is someone a fascist or is someone a Hitler. That's insulting to me. That is insulting. And I'm not going to engage in that. Everyone needs to turn down the rhetoric. Because after Election Day, we still have to be the United States and not the divided states.
So for just a moment here, for just a moment, I'm going to take away, I'm going to remove the possibility that Eric Adams said that because he wants better treatment by Trump if Trump's president. I hope maybe that's partially true, because he's right about this. And the people of New York are worried about their future right now. People don't know if they can pay for groceries. Can they live in a house in the future?
You know, and I know you guys really believe these stories you're writing. It gives you a lot of clicks. It's exciting and give you headlines. But this is not what New Yorkers and Americans are dealing with, folks. They are scared of their future. Someone needs to stand up and say enough of this. Tone down the rhetoric. Let people hear the facts. Let them vote. And let's decide what the next 4 years are going to be for our city. And that's my position. I can't make it any clearer.
You know, good for him for saying that. And again, I'll just assume for just a moment best intentions with Eric Adams. But you think about Kamala Harris, Tim Walz, they're all calling him a Nazi. It's fascism.
Yeah.
You know, that's all they have left at this point. And I think a lot of people just see through it. And even we played a clip from you know, Jon Stewart earlier, where he kind of defended the comedian at MSG, even though there were some things that maybe didn't go over well with the team at CNN. But it's just, it's unbelievable that they go unchecked with all these things over and over. But that's what we have in 2024, because they're panicked right now about what's going to happen next Tuesday, what's happening right now with people voting. I have some recommendations, some explanations of the ballot proposals. We'll do our best, plus an audio cut of the day coming up. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm going to guide people through the ballot here, although I think this is like a waste of time because everyone's voted already, Sue.
Well, I haven't.
Okay. Well, I'm going to help you, but you're a city resident, right?
Yeah.
Before we get to that, a couple of things here on media deception. And this is interesting. I just noticed this as I was doing the show during a break. I'm, you know, scrolling through the X, formerly Twitter, and I see Nicholas Kristof, who I don't follow, but apparently somebody retweeted this that I do follow. He's a, I don't know if you know who Nicholas is. He's one of the liberal columnists for the New York Times.
I did not know
and
that.
A lefty pundit. And he's actually promoting a story that's in the Washington Post, not in the New York Times. And he links to the story and it says this, a struggling, and this is playing, look, we're going to talk about Amendment 3 in a moment here in Missouri. This is a very tough issue for a lot of people. I have been pro-life my entire life. I'll explain my vote on Amendment 3 here in a second. But this is a tough issue because emotions are involved and people get very, very angry about that issue. And
right.
I'm not a woman, and I know that women have different perspectives, but let me just talk about the media. This is what I know. I'm not telling you how to vote on any of these issues, but what I'm going to tell you is the deception that goes on in the mainstream media, and here's a prime example. So Nicholas Kristof tweets this out. A struggling Nevada mom suffers a miscarriage. Then the police show up and arrest her for manslaughter, and she's sentenced to 2.5 to 8 years in prison. Only when a pro bono lawyer steps up and appeals does a judge reverse the conviction and set her free to return to her children. This is family values. Think about that as you vote. Well, that sounds terrible, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Sounds awful that this poor mom, she's poor, she can't afford groceries, mainly because of Biden. He doesn't mention that. But the police showed up just because she had a miscarriage?
That doesn't sound right.
Doesn't sound right. You know why it doesn't sound right? Because that's not what happened.
Of course not.
Okay, what happened was this woman was almost 8 months pregnant at the time, and she was ingesting cinnamon every single day to try to end her pregnancy. She had read somewhere, maybe it was a TikTok thing, or who knows what the hell happened, but that's what she was doing. She was also smoking meth, by the way, in an effort to end her pregnancy. And then, by the way, when she, and this is disgusting and vile and gross, and I apologize if there's children in the car, but she had a miscarriage, and then she tried to hide the body, and when the cops came, they were a little suspicious. So yeah, she was charged with a crime. Nicholas Kristof, the team at the New York Times, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, they all want you to believe that there's only one side to this story, right? I mean, good Lord, if anyone was giving, if you're armed with the actual version of what happened there, wouldn't you be rather horrified? Now, did the woman deserve the sentence of 2.5 to 8 years? I don't know, because I don't know all the details. But what I do know is that the Washington Post, in fairness to the Washington Post, if you read the entire article, they do get down to some of the details that I'm sharing. But you got to go way down and dig deep to find any reference to Cinnamon or her attempting to end her pregnancy at 7 to 8 months. Okay, that's a little different than, you know, 8 weeks, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think to a lot of people it is. Okay, Sue, I promised to kind of run through the ballot. And one of the things I've said a couple times here in the last week is that it really is good advice to read this ballot ahead of time. Because when I sat down, I'm going to kind of do this live on the air right now, on the Secretary of State's website last week, I couldn't believe how convoluted the language was, how long it took to read it. So you want to be armed if you're going into the voting booth with the information. And what I did today, after waiting for about 65 minutes, took me 5 minutes to vote because I knew exactly what I was doing. I didn't even have to have any notes out. Now, I did not vote for the judges, mainly because I don't feel like I'm armed with the information.
I don't know who is.
Right.
I guess
I look
lawyers.
For Joe Duker's name, Jane's husband. He's not on the ballot this year. But how do you, yeah, if you're a lawyer, I don't know. I don't like that process. But here we go. We have, obviously, Amendment 2. Do you want to, and this is where the language gets very, very detailed, yeah, and it's not all on the ballot, right? So you can go to the Secretary of State's office and find out as much about this as you, in theory, can. Do you want to amend the Constitution to allow the Missouri Gaming Commission to regulate licensed sports wagering, including online sports betting, gambling boats, professional sports betting districts, and mobile licenses? Now, I can keep going here, and I can read the license information, and I can tell you all the blah, 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 blah. I understand why, let me just say this two ways. I understand why somebody would take a step back at Amendment 2 and say, you know what? Not our first rodeo here in Missouri. All that money that was promised from the lottery, how much of it went to education? When you really dial down how much money's going to education, is it a lot? Probably not. This is a common sense thing to me, okay? I am a libertarian conservative. I believe that I should have the freedom in the state of Missouri, which, by the way, my state is all about freedom. We don't do stupid things like Illinois or California. And you can, in many of these adjoining states, wager. You guys, you don't have to. If you don't want to bet, there's nobody forcing you to bet. I want the right to do that in my home so I don't have to send money to Las Vegas every weekend, which is what I do. It's part of my entertainment. It might be part of yours. It might not be. But I'm voting for Amendment 2, and I don't give a rip if a penny goes to education, but it will. And that's just a libertarian viewpoint on that. Amendment 3. This one's a little tougher. Do you want to amend the Missouri Constitution to establish a right to make decisions about reproductive health care, including abortion and contraceptives, with any governmental interference of that right presumed invalid? Would you like to remove Missouri's ban on abortion? This goes on, blah, blah, blah. Look, I think that it's been well established that the ballot language, this is a perfect example of why I have for 4 decades been opposed to the initiative petition process. There was actually a woman in line today when I was voting. This was interesting. And I almost clipped her because she was kind of electioneering. She wasn't 25 feet from the entrance, but she was saying to the people in line that she was someone who was paid, I think she said $25 an hour to get signatures for Amendment 3 on the ballot. And her story that she was telling voters today was, then I read the language and I realized what's in this and I'm trying to stop it. Now, I wanted to say to her, look, I appreciate your perspective and I think you're right, but I don't think you should be shouting at people here in line at Grand Glaze, because even though it's not technically electioneering, that's kind of electioneering. But her point is still well taken.
Well, it says stuff like allow regulation of reproductive health care to improve or maintain the health of the patient.
Yeah. There's a lot of things in here that are very questionable. And for me, it wasn't that tough because I'm pro-life. I'm a no vote, but I said this earlier that, you know, I think you're going to have a situation where there's a fair amount of families that are maybe split on this. And
I think
so
too. But if you just read that, you'd think, well, that's harmless. I mean, it's really, you really have to read in advance.
And you can go to sos.mo.gov to read the language of all these. And they do get very specific. It's very difficult for people to understand some of it. Now, this one here on Amendment 5, that's pretty easy. Let me break this one down for you. All this does, this is another freedom thing, is allow the Gaming Commission to offer a license to a gambling boat at the Lake of the Ozarks, in Lake Ozark. We had the mayor of Lake Ozark on last week. This is good for their community. There's no reason why we should be able to have gambling boats here that aren't even on, you know, the water anymore like they used to be in St. Charles or in St. Louis or in South County at River City Casino, and prevent the Lake of the Ozarks, the number one tourist destination in our state, from having that. So I voted yes on Amendment 5. Amendment 6. This one, you know, I don't... Ooh, did you study Amendment 6?
Yes. Okay. We had the sheriff in of St. Charles County in on Monday, and he said... he convinced me, so I'm going to go ahead and vote yes. It's really a court fee, so it's a user fee. If you end up in the court system and you have to pay a $3 fee to do whatever... This is what it goes to. So, in other words, instead of taxing anybody or everybody paying a fee, it's just those who go to court who would have to pay it.
So the language says, shall the Missouri Constitution be amended to provide that the administration of justice shall include the levying of costs and fees to support salaries and benefits for certain current and former law enforcement personnel. A yes vote will amend the Constitution to levy costs and fees to support salaries and benefits for current and former sheriffs, prosecuting attorneys, and circuit attorneys to ensure all Missourians have access to the courts of justice. A no vote will not amend the Missouri Constitution to levy costs and fees related to current or former sheriffs, prosecuting attorneys, and circuit attorneys. That's so convoluted.
It is convoluted. Why? When he came in, Mark, and explained what it was, I was like, what?
Yeah.
That's so simple. What is this?
Right. Well, here's what happened with me. I voted no because I think it's convoluted, and I'm always for the cops, but I don't exactly know what that is all about. And this is exactly why we shouldn't be doing this in Missouri.
Well, yeah. And it hasn't been well explained. I will vote yes, but only because he explained it.
Right. Well, and maybe I made an error there, but I voted no. Amendment 7. This one's pretty easy. Shall the Missouri Constitution be amended to make the Constitution consistent with state law by only allowing citizens of the U.S. to vote, prohibit the ranking of candidates by limiting voters to a single vote per candidate, require the plurality winner of a political party primary to be the single candidate at a general election? Look, this whole thing, and I don't know the... It is technically against federal law to vote if you're not legally in this country. However, here's what I would say to that, and I voted absolutely yes on this one. You have a federal judge. We talked about this afternoon. You have a federal judge in Virginia and another federal appeals court judge that just ruled that Glenn Youngkin and the state of Virginia can't legally remove 1,600 people on their voter rolls who are admitted to not being in this country legally. So, yeah, I'm going to double down on a constitutional amendment for Missouri because I don't trust the federal government and their enforcement of this. So I'm absolutely voting yes on that, which is what I did today. Proposition A, this is not a constitutional amendment.
Minimum wage.
This is important, and this was a no vote for me. The ballot language is, do you want the Missouri Constitution, or do you want to amend the Missouri law? I'm sorry, because this is not a constitutional amendment.
Right.
So do you want to amend the Missouri law to increase the minimum wage in January of 2025, which I'm pretty sure is coming up here, to $13.75 per hour, increasing $1.25 per hour each year until 2026, when the minimum wage would be $15 per hour. The adjustment based on changes in the consumer price index would begin in 2027. So then it's, you know, hell, if it's just rated on inflation, you'd have a lot more money if you're doing it from the last 4 years. This is the part that I voted no for. Look, I'm for people making good money if they earn the money.
Right.
And the minimum wage, it's called the minimum wage because that's kind of like a starting point, right? And this is the part I didn't like in Proposition A. It would require... It would require all employers to provide 1 hour of paid sick leave for every 30 hours work. It would allow the Department of Labor and Industrial Relations to provide oversight and enforcement. There's bureaucracy getting involved.
Yep.
I don't like the requirements. Look, if you're working for someone and they're not paying you enough money, you should look for another job. If you are with an organization that values you, they're going to potentially provide you with sick leave and vacation time, and you can work into that position. I'm completely against mandating businesses for part-time employees that they can't find enough anyway. So no, that is a no vote for me. In St. Charles County, they have a few different issues. Did I miss any there, by the way?
Well, do you have I'm looking at the city ballot, and that we've got a Proposition B, these are all city ones. So you're done.
Yeah, I think so. But how come I have here the... that was on the primary election ballot. I see. Okay, that's where I was confused. There were a couple things on the primary ballot that I might have missed. St. Charles County, they have ballots for county councilman, for prosecuting attorney, for a Senate seat. That's the Adam Schnelting seat, or Matt Williams. You're going to go with Schnelting, the Republican there. But it doesn't look like they have any ballot, countywide ballot measures in St. Charles County. So yeah, the city ballot will be a little different than what I did in St. Louis County today versus Jeffco or St. Charles County. But for the most part, if you want to find out information on the amendments, go to the Secretary of State's office for all the ballot language. Your county, if you're in St. Louis County, would have the rest of the language and information on how to vote. So the biggest recommendation that I could give you outside of, you know, you can think for yourselves, right? You don't have to do what I did, is read the ballot before you go in. Do a little homework, because that's going to make things so much easier. I'm so glad that I did that. And again, it took me just 70 minutes all in to vote earlier at Grand Glaze in St. Louis County. We've got audio cut of the day still to come. I had to bump in with this one here for the final piece of bumper music, because Uncle Ted's going to join us tomorrow at 5 o'clock. You know, I was thinking about him over the weekend. I'm listening to the Joe Rogan podcast, and I'm kind of putting things together in my mind for this week of the show. And Fred and I have been working on this. We got big plans, of course. I'll be hosting the election night coverage next Tuesday with former Senator John Lamping and a cast of characters. We're going to have great, great coverage here on 97.1 FM Talk, starting as soon as the show ends at 6, and we'll take it to midnight or maybe beyond, maybe till about December 3rd. We'll have to see. But, you know, there's a bunch of people that I want to get on. Josh Hammer, among them, Jennings, course, Selena Zito. I don't know if we're going to be able to get everyone on. Spicer, we'll get him on here before the election. But I absolutely thought of my friend Ted Nugent. He was on just a couple of months ago. Usually we don't have Ted on in a very narrow window. And I told Fred, you know, Linda might say this is hunting season, because, you know, he's out in the woods a lot more this time of year. But he jumped on the opportunity as a big fan of Mark Reardon and the Mark Reardon Show. Ted and I go way back to the mid-90s when I was on KFRU in Columbia. He's become a great friend, and he is awesome radio. So we'll love to hear him and his closing arguments for Trump. And he knows that I wavered from Trump a couple years ago on the behavior issue. He's lectured me about that many times, Ted Nugent. So we'll have him on the show tomorrow. Audio cut of the day. Do I have time here, Sue?
I think so.
I'm going to try.
Quiet. Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
So check this out. This is Democrat John Fetterman in Pennsylvania talking about Trump signs.
It's astonishing. I was doing an event in Indiana County, very, very red, and there was a superstore of Trump stuff, and it was 100 feet long, and it was dozens of T-shirts and hats and bumper stickers and all kinds. I mean, it's like, where does this all come from? I mean, it was almost like Taylor Swift kind of swag.
John Fetterman, one of the senators from Pennsylvania, the biggest swing state out there, says this is real.
It's like something very special exists there. And that doesn't mean that I admire it. It's just like it's real.
Well, I appreciate his ability to call it honestly. And I think that reality is going to manifest itself into a win for Trump in Pennsylvania, which would seal the deal. Uncle Ted tomorrow on the show. Still a lot to get to this week. Have a great Tuesday evening. We're back at 3 tomorrow.
Get more at 971talk.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.